Welcome to OAA Now, your home for Oakland Activities Association news and information. Here's your host, Sammy Taramina.
Welcome to OAA Now here on Sammy Taramina, blogger around the OAA, the host of Last Three Brain Cells and the host of 22 Minutes on Orient Invitation. I'd like to welcome those watching on the local voice on SoundCloud and those watching on Orient Invitation. A lot to talk about this week. Obviously, we're looking at, of course, we're getting to the nitty-gritty of the season here in February here. We're into February, which means, you know, the beginning of the postseason. You get to start talking a little bit of postseason stuff. We go on boys first, and then, of course, we have girls first. So, you know, when you look at a lot of things have been occurring, of course. I mentioned that this week on Twitter, of course, now known as X, that I want to talk a little bit about is when teams do pictures of themselves on the road. And I'm going to bring that up because, to me, you know, obviously, I get it when you look at teams that have emotional wins, you know what I mean, big wins. You know, I get it. And you want to post a picture, you know, of your teammates winning on the road. Now, others view that as a sign of disrespect, and I think that's something that we got to address here on this podcast, and I think we're going to address that. Why I don't think it's a good idea for opposing teams to take photos of themselves, I mean, of their team winning an emotional game on the opposing floor and on the opposing team's floor or even on the opposing team's football field. So, you know, and this is from, you know, prior history, obviously, and I think we gotta talk about that. And I'll tell you why I have concerns why when teams does that, you know, that's really dangerous, in my opinion. So we're gonna begin on this here. Obviously, you know, we've had some big games over the weekend here. Some shockers we're gonna bring up. Obviously, Seaholm's win against Harper Woods was a shock. 44-28 was that score. We're going to talk that game here and why. Seaholm, they do have a chance in their district, but it's that they play like a, you know, their style of play, you know, is almost similar to that of Princeton's, obviously. But we're going to bring that up as well. So let's go to our main story here. Obviously, the, you know, when I look at, of course, in girls basketball, and we talk about Troy. We talk about the impressive play of Diamond Prince. Last three games, she's averaged over 37 a game. She's had 40 against Berkeley, had 37 against Troy Athens, and 35 against in another game. So the impression of that, Diamond Prince has been really impressive lately for Coach Laura Guzman. Even the game against Troy Athens where, you know, Troy had a really nice lead up by 11 at halftime, and then Athens came back, had to hang on and win that one 54-51. It's the one that has me the most attention because of what they posted on Twitter, or now X. That's what has my attention a little bit. Because of, they posted a photo of their team celebrating on the Red Hawk logo. And there's a reason why I say this is, you know, and to me that looks like, and to me, you know, you could look at it two different ways. One, looking at it from an emotional aspect of it, where you win an emotional basketball game, and you know, winning, you know, and I know they were celebrating a good cause. It was, you know, their pink game, obviously. Of course, both coaches wore pink. But when I look at it, when you celebrate on an opposing team's gym or in an opposing team's football field, that's gonna rub you the wrong way if you're the opposing team or the team that who just got beat. And you know, when I look at in Troy's case, you gotta play Troy Athens two more times. And most likely, you're gonna play him in the district, and you're in the same district, and you got a game at Troy, and could you just imagine a Troy Athens winning the Troy and one? you know that that photo that Troy did, that's going to be bulletin board material automatically. And you, the reason why I say that is because, you know, and I think, you know, and I hope Troy's ready for that because, you know, Troy's been playing really good basketball lately. I mean, they've been playing really good basketball. I mean, the play of Diamond Prince, obviously we talked about her. Reagan Zeiter's had, Reagan Zeiter's had her moment. She had 8 points, most in the first quarter. But, you know, when I look at, you know, when Prince scores 37 if you're 54, that's never a good stat to have. And then you look at on the other side, you know, Troy Atkins, we know it's a very good team. I mean, obviously they have a very good player, Alex Link and Albie Malone. But that picture that they posted on their Twitter page, that, you know, that to me, I think it's a sign of disrespect for a couple of reasons. Because that says, you know, we went into your place and we beat you, and, you know, and now we have this to remember this, remember it. So that's what I'm saying is when you look at, and I was just really disappointed, honestly, that they did that. I was really disappointed because, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have had an issue if they did that picture on their home floor. I don't have an issue with that. But if it's at somebody's place, especially on center court or on the center of the opposing team's logo, that's where I have a problem. Because now if it was celebrated, you know what I mean, outside the court, you know, if outside the court in the hallways, that's fine. But on the court or on the football field, on the center of the 50-yard line or center of the field, that's where I got a problem. Because one, that's like a sign of disrespect. Two, it's also like a, it's kind of like a territorial thing. And we're taught, you know what I mean? The MHA always says good sports are winners. You know what I mean? I remember back a couple years ago in football when Clarkston, when Clarkston and the Lake Orion, they had their flag getting ready to, you know, like to do like what Oklahoma did against Ohio State, to put their flag on the Ohio State O. Now, thankfully, that never materialized. And I know then Coach Kurt Richardson basically screamed at his players, you know, you got to win with class. You win with class and you lose with class. That's how I look at things. That's how sports goes. That's how it has to go. You know, when you see those teams, put photos on the opposite gym, then it gets a little, because then it's bulletin board material for the other side. And I've seen it. I had a discussion about this with Rochester coach Bill Thurston about this, this topic. I mean, I've seen it. I've known it personally. You know, I've seen it happen. You know, even this year, you know, when you look at what happened in Clarkston, Lake Orion, both games, it's happened. Now, where you know, Lake Orion wanted to do a photo of them winning on the Clarkston Sea, and Clarkston Athletic Director Jeff Kozin, you know, he got mad about it. But thankfully, the kids didn't do it. And then during the playoff game, Clarkson wanted to celebrate on the Lake Orion LO after winning the district championship. Thankfully for security, you know, that never materialized. So you kind of knew what the kids' intentions were, you know, to basically say, you know what, we beat you on your field, you know what I mean? And that's basically where I have an issue with that, you know, and I have an issue with, you know, with, you know, teams' idea to want to celebrate on the opposing team's home field. And the reason why I say that is because it's a sign of disrespect. And that's honesty right there. Because I've known it from personal experience, you know, and I've known it, you know what I mean? And also, it will rile up the other team. You know, considering, obviously, you look at, you know, and in Troy's case, you got to play Troy Athens twice. Most likely going to be in the postseason as well. You got one more league game against him. I know Rochester has a habit of doing it. But, you know, so we had a chat about it. So, but at the end of the day, you know what I mean? You won. You got to win with class and got to lose with class. And that's really how I look at it. And, you know, that's how I look at things. Is you win with class, you lose with class, you know. Just don't do anything extracurricular like, you know what I mean, doing that. Because it's going to rile the team up, the opposing team up. You know, especially got to play them again. Or, you know what I mean? You know, and especially, you know what I mean? I mean, cause, and there's a lot of reasons why. And I think, you know, honestly, you know, that it's not a good idea. And it goes for parents, it goes for players, it goes for coaches. You know, it's never a good idea to do that. So if it's at home, if you win a big game on your home floor, you can celebrate that with, you can do that. You can definitely do a picture of your team, you know, celebrating on your home floor, just not on the opposite team's floor, because it's going to get the other team riled up. It's going to get them motivated, you know, especially because they're going to remember it. You know what I mean? If it's not this year or when you get to play them again. So, you know, so it's not wise, I don't think, you know what I mean, to really do that. And, you know, and what I saw with the Troy Athens game, celebrating with Troy celebrating on Athens's Red Hawk logo, I would not have recommended that one bit because of the fact that you have to play them again. They're going to remember that. That's going to be bulletin board material, you know, when they play. So, you know, so if I'm Troy Athens coach JC Klump, you know what I mean? I'm getting that picture, and you know what? I'm motivating your team, you know what I mean, to get them ready when they go down to Troy to take on Troy. That's just like a, you know, I mean, like, that's going to be a motivational factor, you know, to say, you know what, we can go and beat these guys, you know what I mean, like, and, you know, sometimes, you know what I mean, and it happened last year, you know, several teams, of course, they won the first meeting, but the other team got them back in the next meeting, so, you know, so I wouldn't recommend, I would definitely not recommend parents or students or teams, I would not recommend to post photos of your team winning on an opposite gym, because, you know, there's a lot of emotions involved in the basketball game, and, you know, and it's a sign of disrespect, you know what I mean, to the opposing team. So, you know, so that's my take on it. I wouldn't recommend it to, you know, and that's my take on that. I've seen it before, personal experience, I've seen it, but you tend to, like, you look at the word good sports or winners, you know, and obviously you win with class and you lose with class, and I think really that's where I'm trying to get to at with the, you know, honestly with that, with the word good sports or winners, you know what I mean, and they always say that, you know, EMHA does, you know what I mean, so, you know, so it makes a lot of sense here to, you know, so my recommendation to parents and to the student athletes everywhere, just don't post photos on the opposing team's floor. You can do it on your home floor. That's fine, but not do it on the opposing floor. So that's just my take on that. So we'll see what happens. I mean, like, but I just had to get my sixth sense in here, obviously, with what's been going on, and especially in this world of social media. You know, you're looking at, in this world of social media, you're just, you know what I mean, like, you know, posting it to the opposite team, never, I mean, I'm posting it on your Twitter page, never a good idea, because the opposing team's gonna see it, and that's gonna open up more motivation. And we know how that's going to go. So we'll see what happens going forward. Let's go now to some basketball news here, obviously. Looking at the week, obviously, we're going to talk Seahome. Seahome's been a really weird team to figure out. And I think this has been interesting because, you know, Max Lashke's a solid player. Finley Sparby's a good player. Jacob Drouin, he's not a bad player. For them to go down in Wayne County, in the Harper Woods, and hold that team, that Pioneer team, who's got Isaiah Lewis, you know, to 28 points, that says something. Now, Seahome plays a really different brand of basketball defensively. I mean, they are a team that likes to play the Princeton-style offense. They like to slow you down, take you out of your element. And, you know, and you look at what Seahome's done, they know how to, they run their system really well. I mean, they don't turn it over a lot. They don't, they're very disciplined with their scheme. And that's a credit coach, Coach Greg DeGeeter. He is a really good coach. I mean, despite the record they have right now, I mean, they have a, you know, they're struggling a little bit right now. They lost a lot of talent from a year ago. But you got to look at, obviously, the players they got. I mean, like, Drouin's really, really has had some moments. He's played some good basketball. Will Soderall, he's been playing really well, rebounding the ball for Seahome. You know, Matt Schlaske's an energy player. John Chinosis is a very energetic player. He can rebound, shoot you a three if you need it. So when I look at Seahome, I mean, they run their system really well. And, you know, if they have issues, and to knock off a team in Harper Woods in their gym, you know, they Harper Woods is a team that really likes to go up and down the floor. That really says something, you know, with what they did. They caused a little bit of a dent in the white race. Obviously, when you look at, you know, with Troy right now leads the league right now, and they look really good to win the white title this year. Lake Orion right now, I would say right now is the second best team in that division. Just with the way that team's played. You know, you really look at the Dragons. I mean, like when they went back home, they've won three straight. One of them was against Southfield, Arts and Tech, when that was a makeup game. But when you really look at Lake Orion, I really think when you look at the Dragons right now, if I had to say who's the second best team in that division right now behind Troy, if it was Lake Orion, Troy Athens, Harper Woods or Farmington, I think Lake Orion is because of, you know, you look at what the Dragons have. You know, Zach Parks has been a really nice addition for this team. I mean, you clearly look at what he has done. He can rebound. He can score. He can defend. He can take charges. I mean, he can shoot threes. I mean, he is a complete player. I think colleges need to start looking at this young man. I think he's really good. And you pair him up with Ryan Washington, who's only a sophomore. And Ryan Washington's had some moments where he's looked really good. Quay Fly, I'll tell you what, Quay Fly's been playing really well for this team. So when you really look at Lake Orion, they're getting contributions everywhere. You know, they're getting contributions everywhere. And you look at this Dragon team, they could be I think there's a reason why I think they're the second best team in the white behind Troy. Troy Athens, obviously people are going to say, well, you know, they got a case as well. Yeah, they do. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I mean, they do got a case. You know, Finley Sparby. Emmanuel Robinson. I mean, you got Griffin LeBay there. Troy Athens, you know, they're still a very good team. They are still a very, very good team. Don't get me wrong. I think the Red Hawks, you know, they just had those two rough games against Lake Orion. I'm curious to see how they do against Harper Woods, because that's going to be really interesting to see. Now, in Harper Woods' case, they're coming off a win against Farmington, but we talked earlier about that loss to Seaholm. The Farmington game was 72-65. So when you look at Harper Woods, they like to go up and down. So does Farmington. They like to go up and down as well. So we'll see how that one goes there. Bloomfield Hills has really been struggling right now. Salford Arson Tech has also been struggling. Bloomfield Hills is a very young team. They got Deron Mason, Philip Muhammad, Reggie Hinton, when healthy, he's a very good player. So they got three very, very good young talented players for Coach Brian Canfield. To work with, especially hanging the next year, and they're going to be with you for the next 2 years. So Bloomfield Hills, their future is bright for them going forward. A&T, we don't know where their mindset is, but we'll see. So when I look at the white right now, I still think it's Troy, then Lake Orion, Troy Athens, Harper Woods, Farmington, Bloomfield Hills, and then Southfield Arts and Tech. That's my take on the white. The blue, it's going to go down to Berkeley's a hard team to figure out because I can't figure Berkeley out, especially after their loss to Stony Creek. Now, Stony Creek's a team that's been really funny lately. I mean, they're a team that I think, honestly, when you look at the Cougars, here's a team that early in the year really struggled. They really struggled. And then to see what they did against Berkeley, then you say to yourself, wait a minute here. Where's this been all year long? I mean, yes, it's true that they need Trey Walker on the floor. And that's honesty. They need Trey Walker on the floor. Stony Creek's been playing better basketball lately. And that's a good sign for Coach Jeff Owen. That is a good sign for him and that team. Is they're starting to play their best ball in February. Now, the league race for them is too late for them there. But, for them to at least get some competence heading into districts, that's going to say a lot. And when you look at that district, I mean, Adams, I think, is the team to beat in that district. Adams is the team to beat in that district. I mean, Utica Eisenhower, they do have a track record. Utica, I can't trust this team one bit at all. I can't trust Utica. Because, yes, they're a senior-heavy team, but they really haven't been tested. Romeo, I can't trust Romeo at all. I really can't. Even if they've had some good wins, but honestly, bottom line, I can't trust this team at all. I just can't. And then Utica, I absolutely can't trust. I mean, and then, of course, Rochester. We know Rochester. I watched him on film against Pontiac, and Rochester, they're not very sound defensively at all. I mean, they're not really, they don't communicate well. And I saw that game against Pontiac where they just had some struggles, especially with, they really struggled, especially against some Jeremiah Claudio and Travion Peters. Peters had a big game for Pontiac in that game. Pontiac, to me, is a wild card in this whole thing. He really is. So, to pair him and Jeremiah Claudio, they got others as well. I mean, there's a couple players I like on this Pontiac team. I mean, there's a couple of them. They got height. They got size. Just had a rough start early, but it bounced back really nicely. Pontiac, to me, they're scary in this division. They're very scary. Now, when I look at the district, could they upset somebody? Yeah, they could. But when I look at that district, I mean, they do have a win against Avondale earlier in the year. And that says something right there. They can beat Avondale. I don't know if they match up to Lake Orion. I don't know if they match up to Clarkston or Waterford Mott. I don't know if they do. otherwise, you know, Pontiac, they're a scary team. They're really scary. And they're my dark horse right now. I mean, they gave Oxford everything it could handle earlier in the year. Oxford's got to go to Pontiac. And then you look at Avondale, who I think right now is the favorite in this division, considering where they're at. I think Avondale, you know, they're red hot right now. I mean, they're playing really good basketball right now. And then there's Oxford. When you look at Oxford, obviously Jake Champagne, everybody looks at Jake Champagne, you know what I mean? But when he has help, Coach Joe Fed's team is really dangerous. And honestly, when you look at Oxford, you know, the Wildcats, you know, a lot of people look at Champagne and say, okay, it's a one-man show. It's not necessarily the case. You have both Katie brothers. You have Luke Stofan, who's really, I think Luke Stofan's really played well. I watched your game against Royal Oak, and I'll tell you what, I mean, like, they know how to win ugly games. They know how to. I mean, and I'm looking at Royal Oak. Royal Oak, you're 2-7 your last 9 games. 2-7. It kind of is like when you look at Royal Oak, they have a great start to the year, and then they start and they fall off. I don't know what's going on with that team. I really don't know. It's when their shots don't fall, bad things happen. That's how you describe Coach Aaron Smith's team. Is, you know, Canton Clark, when he has a bad game, he struggles. When Nick Hoffman struggles. You know, when those two guys struggle, usually that Royal Oak struggles. So, when I look at Royal Oak, in their case, you know, they got some problems right now. They got some big, big problems right now that they got to figure out. I mean, I know Ferndale University's also struggling as well. I mean, they're struggling as well. But when I look at and of course, they already talk Rochester. Of course, you know, when they need Max Moe on the floor. They need him on the floor. That's clear as day. And, you know, and a technical foul changed that game against Pontiac. So when I look at the Blue Division right now, and it's pretty easy to say where I think the division right now is Avondale's division to lose. I mean, they beat Berkeley. They have a win against Oxford. They still got to go to Oxford, which is going to be interesting. They got, I mean, like, I know they got to play Stony. They got to play Rochester. Right now, Coach Jared Thomas's team is in the driver's seat in that division. And then who do you think I would say between Oxford and Berkeley? People would say, you know, Berkeley, they got that win against Oxford earlier in the year. But I'll tell you what, I think if I have to trust Oxford right now over Berkeley, because I don't know what Berkeley team's going to show up. I don't know what type of Berkeley team's going to show up. I really don't. Whereas when I know what Oxford is, I know what I'm getting with Oxford. I just don't know what I'm getting with Berkeley. So I would say right now I have to trust Oxford right now over Berkeley. You know, then I have Berkeley. And then I have Pontiac. Pontiac, obviously, my fourth best team in that division. Then I think Stony Creek. I would say right now, Stony Creek, they're playing good. They're playing much better basketball right now. I mean, I'm surprised it took them this long. You know what I mean? To, you know, start getting. You know what I mean? And obviously, when you look at Stony Creek's situation, year two, you always expect that transition year, that turnaround year, and it's kind of surprised that, you know, it hasn't happened with Stony Creek. It's starting to click a little bit, which is a good sign for them going forward there. So we'll see how that one goes. And then you have Rochester and Ferndale U right now is basically the two teams in the bottom right now, the Blue Division right now. So, you know, that's my take on that division. So when I look at the blue, Avondale obviously still a team to beat. I would say actually put Royal Oak, then Rochester, then actually, and then Ferndale U. So my division right now, I would say Avondale, Oxford, Berkeley, Pontiac, Stony Creek, Royal Oak, Rochester, and Ferndale U. That's my eight right now in the blue right now as we speak. And then the red. Clarkson getting two big wins. I'm glad they took my call out to heart. They won two straight. Knocked out Troy Athens and Rochester on both convincing fashions. We'll see what type of team they are when they get back in the league play. Take on Groves, of course. Groves looks very beatable. When I look at Groves, you look at John Simpson. He's injured with a foot injury. And then you have Gibson. Gibson, we know what he can bring. What he did against Seaholm was just insane. He and Paul Hubbard combined for 40 of their 56 on Saturday against Seaholm. That's insane. I mean, most of their shots they made were from three-point range. And that says a lot, considering where Coach Mark West's team's been. I mean, they got a big win against Adams, which is huge. So with Groves right now, they're adjusting to life in the red pretty well. I mean, like, Paul Hubbard's really stepped up his game to help with Josh Simpson. With Josh Gibson. You really look at, of course, the Simpson injury. That's huge right now. That is huge right now because that takes away virtually the rebounding threat. So they're going to have to make shots if Groves wants to move forward to win games. So really that's where the case I have with Groves is, can they make shots, especially in a high percentage? Now they're heading to Clarkston next, which is difficult. It's a difficult matchup for Groves going to Clarkston to take on a Wolves team that really, a Wolves team that I think's really started to get back to the thick of it a little bit but I'm curious to see where Clarkston goes. I mean, like, you know, but they got that big win for them, and that's a big deal. If Clarkston can start turning things around, and they've started to get some progress about that, getting a big win against Troy Athens and then also going to Rochester and getting a big win against the Falcons. So, you know, Clarkston, you know what I mean? It's, you know, they're just going through a lot right now. So really that's the take on the Wolves right now as we speak. And then Adams, of course, Adams had that tough loss to Groves. So I think they're fine. Peter Kardashian, William G, Trenton LaGarge, I think Coach Isaiah Novak's team's going to be fine. But we'll see. We will see. And then, of course, I got to talk Ferndale West Bloomfield. If you're Coach Juan Rickman, you just got to be sick to your stomach. How do you blow an 18-point lead against West Bloomfield? And West Bloomfield, I got to give Coach Arnett Jordan a lot of credit here. This team didn't panic. They didn't go 3-point happy. Cause normally when teams are down like 18, you know what I mean, or 20 points, they try to get back at it with a 3-ball. They just followed their game plan to a T, got that deficit down, took a lead in the middle of the fourth quarter. They did not panic. And that's a credit to Coach Arnett Jordan and his staff and his team. Drew Wilson had a big game for them. So when you look at West Bloomfield, you know, they've been through the ringer. They've been through the storm. I mean, they've been a team that's hanging by the moment. When you come back from 18 points down and win, that's a confidence booster for you. That really is. And when you look at them, and in Ferndale's case, if you're Coach Juan Rickman, you're going to say this. You can't afford, you know, to lay out the gas, against that team, especially when you come in the postseason. You're looking at Warren Lincoln staring you in the face. And you're looking at Detroit Pershing possibly staring you in the face. So if you're Coach Rickman, you gotta say, look, guys, when we're up 20, you can't just stop playing. You know, and that's what happened. I felt like at times Ferndale stopped playing. They turned it over carelessly, and look what happened. Look what happened to that team. That's what happens when you turn the ball over, you know, and you give up easy baskets on the other side. So, and I know Rickman's got a young team, but let's not forget, Rickman's been here before. He knows this. Last season, Ferndale was in a rut. They were in a rut last year. Struggled early. Made a part of January. Early part of February. They struggled. And then when they got their act together, look what happened. They won a Division II state championship. So Rickman's been here before. So I think Ferndale, you know, I mean, they've been here before. So I think it's similar. I think it's really similar to where they're at right now. And then we got North Farmington, the Raiders. Coach Todd Nagosian got his 200th career win as a head coach. Congratulations to Coach Nagosian. North Farmington had no issue with Oak Park. Oak Park's really struggling, honestly. Oak Park is really struggling. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, yeah, albeit North Farmington's a very good team, but Oak Park, honestly, they're struggling mightily. They are struggling real mightily right now. So when I look at the Red right now, I would have to say, North Farmington, West Bloomfield, Ferndale, Adams, Clarkston, Groves, Oak Park. So that's my take on the Red. Is I think in that order right now, the way each team's been playing, I think obviously with the way North Farmington's been playing, I'll be curious to see how North Farmington West Bloomfield does. That should be a really interesting game over at North, between those two teams. But I just think North Farmington right now, the way that they're playing, they're going to be a tough out for anybody. So we'll see what happens there with North Farmington going forward there. So it'll be interesting to see how that one goes, and we'll see what happens. Okay, now let's go from boys basketball. Let's go to girls. Obviously, we've talked in the gold. You look at that division and say to yourself, you know, Ferndale is clearly the team in that division because of, you look at the play of their three, of their big three. I know they've toughened up their non-conference. You know, they get themselves ready for the postseason. You know, they're coming off. I mean, like, they're probably going to use the league as probably, like, you know, like, to get themselves ready for the postseason. But I'm not sure if playing those type of teams are going to get them better. Knowing Coach Keith Paris, it'll be interesting to see what he does this offseason. I would expect him to ask to move up maybe at least to the white. You know what I mean? Where I could see Ferndale in the white next season. I really do. I mean, don't get me wrong. I just think that with the talent they got there, the only issue I have with Ferndale is going to be is, you know, their depth. Program strength is a big question mark for them. You know, can they build their sub-varsity programs? Can they build them there? And that's the question. I know that Paris is trying to build this program very similar to that of Juan Rickman's program with the boys program. Of course, Rickman's the athletic director at Ferndale. So when I look at the gold right now, Ferndale's clearly to me the best team. Avondale is clearly the second best team in that division. Pontiac, I would say, is third. Even though they're starting to struggle again a little bit. Oak Park is starting to struggle a little bit. I think Oak Park's, they're still a very young team. And then you look at Ferndale University. I don't know what to say. I mean, like, you know, they're really struggling right now. I mean, you know, and I feel bad for the players. I feel bad for Coach Brianna Rowe. You know, I know it's a process and all that, but, you know, I mean, like, when you're getting blown out, I mean, like, it's got to be hard on you. It's got to be really, really hard on you just to see what's going on. And the fact you only scoring single digits, you're getting the running clock against you, that's never a good feeling. I mean, that really isn't. You just got to look at the morale of your team and say, look, you know what I mean? We're gonna be back. You know, we're gonna be fine. Stay positive. That's what I would say right now to the girls of Ferndale University right now, is to stay positive. You know what I mean? You know, you're going through a rut right now. You're going through a lot. And, you know, that's life of playing varsity basketball. There's peaks and valleys. I mean, so we'll see what happens. I mean, so when I look at the division in the gold, I mean, it's Ferndale, Avondale, Pontiac, Oak Park, Ferndale U. I mean, that's really what it is right now in that division. Blue, we talked about Troy Athens. Adams has been struggling a little bit, but they did get a nice win against Farmington. So when I look at Adams, I mean, like, they haven't been consistent, which has been interesting to see, really interesting to see how they just haven't been consistent. So when I look at this division, Southfield Arts and Tech lost two games this week. I mean, they had that win again. They had that win at in the Detroit Public School League showcase, but the two losses in league kind of opens the division up a little bit. You kind of say now, who is the favorite in that division? Is it Troy? Is it Berkeley? Is it Troy Athens? I mean, is it Southfield Arts and Tech? I mean, like, when you really look at the blue right now, and I'm looking at it from a perspective here to say, who's playing really well right now? And right now, the team I have to trust right now is Troy. Because, obviously, Diamond Prince has gone nuts. Reagan Zeider, you know, her defense has been really good lately for the Colts. You know, they have that win against Troy Athens, which is huge. Now, the shenanigans after the game, I'm really, really upset about. Talked about that earlier in the podcast. But when you look at the product that Coach Laura Guzman has, Troy has really, they've been through a storm, and now they're getting out of that storm. And that's a good sign, and that's gaining confidence. So when you really look at Troy's situation, I mean, yes, ride Diamond Prince. You know, you got to ride Diamond Prince. You got to find, like, your interior play. You got to find who is going to be that girl who breaks out on the interior game. I mean, like, because you obviously got Olivia Sprangler. You got Reagan Zeider. You have Diamond Prince. Here's the thing. All three of them are guards. Kelsey Block's a solid defender. But who's that big in the interior? Is it Allie Mantuza? Is it Carly Higginbottom? I mean, there's so many questions in the interior that I think for Coach Guzman to figure out. I know Guzman wants to go more of that four guard, one big set, which is really difficult if you're a big. But when you look at the way that Prince has been playing, the way that Zeider's been playing, I mean, and then the way that Sprangler's been playing, I mean, like, you know, right now, if I have to say who the best team right now in the division is, I think right now it's Troy. And they have a win against Berkeley that also proves it. Berkeley's been playing really good basketball, too. I really like the Bears right now. I really like the way that Mavie Nolan's played. I really like the way that that Coach Clay Shaver's got that team going. They got a machine going down there at Berkeley. They do. But I really like how Berkeley has been playing. I just think that the Bears are a team that they're dangerous. They're really dangerous. And I know they still got to play Troy Athens, which I think it'll be really interesting. Be a good game, I think, between those two teams. And then you have Southfield we talked about. Like I said, if you shut down Southfield's offensive threats, if you have a team that plays legitimate good defense against them, you're going to beat Southfield. I mean, that's really no ifs, ands, or buts. You look at those games that Southfield lost, you know, Lavonia Stevenson, they played really good defense. We know about West Bloomfield. And then in their two league losses to Berkeley and Troy Athens, Southfield Arsenal Tech, I mean, they couldn't figure out neither team's defensive capabilities. And, of course, both those two teams, they could play with A&T and go in a high-scoring game. Because A&T, let's not forget, this team defensively, you can't trust A&T defensively. You really can't. So, we'll see. So, when I look at the blue right now, I would say it's Troy, Berkeley, Troy Athens. And then we have, because I think Farmington's the worst team in that division. Adams is probably, like, the second worst in that division. So I think at the end of the day here, when you look at that division, Troy right now looks to be the team to beat. Berkeley's there. I would say Troy Athens and Southfield Arsenal Tech, then Adams, and then Farmington. So that's the order of that division right now. So we'll see what happens. Let's go to the White. When I look at the White, and Harper Woods controls their destiny right now in the White. Their big win against Seaholm earlier in the week. And it wasn't even close. Which was shocking. I think it was 63-37. That was shocking. And then you look at what Seaholm did against Boomba Hills at LCA. Exposing Boomba Hills' guard situation. Boomba Hills really struggling because of that guard situation. That's really where I think could be Boomba Hills' biggest problem is the guards. I mean, that's the problem that Boomba Hills has been facing almost all year. They did have an ACL injury in one of their guards, which was huge. And knowing Coach Kristen Massey, I think she'll get it figured out. I think she will. When I look at this division, Harper Woods right now leads the division. But a team that I think could give Harper Woods big, big, big problems is Royal Oak. Royal Oak, they got everybody back. They've been through the wars against Harper Woods. They beat Harper Woods twice last year. Actually, they split with them last year. So when I look at, Harper Woods still has to play them twice. So this is going to be interesting to see when those two teams meet because, Harper Woods right now has the driver's seat. Royal Oak's got that loss to Seaholm. Which is right now killing them at the moment. North Farmington, I can't trust that team. I really can't. I mean, with the way that team's been, it's hard to trust them, especially with everything that's been going on surrounding that program. Groves has been up and down. Looked okay against Harper Woods despite the 4-point loss. I mean, put 53 points up. Sierra Rocco's a really good player for them. I really like JC Roy a lot on that team as well. I think she's a talented player. So when I look at Groves is an up-and-down team. Seaholm, we know what they have. I mean, their guards are solid. I mean, I'll tell you what, I like Coach Chris Manchester's team. I really do. They're a talented group. Royal Oak, we know what they got. Harper Woods, we know what they got. So when I look at this division right now, and, you know, and obviously, you know, look at the situation of each team right now, I would say, even though Harper Woods leads the division, I think Royal Oak is better than both Seaholm and Harper Woods for a couple reasons. Experience matters. Experience matters in that type of game. They really, they do, I mean, like, they have a ton of experience. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see. I mean, give credit where credit's due. So, but I think Royal Oak right now is better than Harper Woods and Seaholm, honestly. I think right now, Bloomfield Hills, they're struggling right now. Then Groves to North Farmington. So that's my take in the white right now, with really everything that's been going on with that, with the white right now. And then the red, West Bloomfield, they've been clicking on all cylinders, but they played Anthony Wayne, Ohio, and ended up losing that one 71-59, which was shocking because I watched that game on film and I said to myself, I mean, what's going on with West Bloomfield? I mean, they haven't, you know, albeit Anthony Wayne, Ohio is a very good team. Don't get me wrong there. I mean, the Generals, they got a heck of a, their big is good. I mean, they got a good team. I mean, I think they're the ones that tested West Bloomfield probably the toughest out of anybody. And that says a lot, considering, you know, where they're at right now. And obviously with West Bloomfield, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. I mean, obviously you have the Davis sisters, Kendall Hendricks, Sheridan Beal. I think when you look at Harper Woods, West Bloomfield, there's some kinks in the armor a little bit with Coach Joe McAllister's team. So we'll see what happens. I mean, like, but I still think West Bloomfield's the team to beat. They're still the team to beat. So we'll see what happens there going forward with them. So we'll see how that one goes. And then you have Stony Creek right now. I mean, like, they don't look as good as people think they do. I mean, yes, they had the tough loss to West Bloomfield, but they did not look very good against Lake Orion. But when I look at Stony Creek, you know, Sarah LaPrairie has to be the key for them going forward. I mean, yes, Izzy Avage is a solid big, but Sarah LaPrairie is the key for that team going forward. And I think she will be for them going forward. So we'll see how that goes. Clarkston, obviously Eliana Roback, Brooklyn Colbert, you know, Emily Valencia, Eliah Moger, they have to, I mean, like, they're, to me, I still got concerns about this team on the road, you know, and I think that's a good question mark for Coach Aaron Goodnow. I mean, like, with young teams, they do much better at home than they are on the road. If you have a veteran team on the road, you have a lot more faith in that. Rochester, we know about Max and Robinson. If they get guard play, I'll tell you what, I mean, like, they got something, and they've gotten that lately. And then there's Lake Orion. I mean, Lake Orion, they're struggling right now. Bottom line, that team can't score. I mean, that's a problem. Early in the year, Lake Orion was really good. I mean, on all sides of the ball, sharing the ball, playing really well. And then when they get the league play, they just haven't been the same team since. But the last three games, Lake Orion's really started to find themselves again a little bit. Despite the losses, Izzy Walensky has to score for this team to be successful. Ellie Britt has to score. Nevaeh Wood has to score. So if you're in Charlotte Peplowski, she has to score. So if you're Coach Bob Bridges, you know, you got to find ways for those four girls to score, especially Walensky. If Lake Orion can find that team that played in December, then I think they could get back into this, get back in the thick of it, you know, and then get ready for the postseason. So, but when I look at Lake Orion, their goals are still there. I mean, you know, a district title still there. I mean, I know that, you know, for Coach Bridges and them, and the Dragons, I think they're fine. Yeah, they're struggling right now, but I think they're starting to find themselves a little bit more. This team has to be a defensive first team. And for Lake Orion to be successful, Lake Orion traditionally, Coach Bridges' bread and butter has always been defense. And if Lake Orion can commit themselves to defense, then I think they're going to be just fine. I mean, the offense will come in time, but they've got to be committed on the defensive side of the ball. Defense is the one you can control, not the offensive side, because, you know, you're going to miss some shots. If you miss shots, a lot of great looks and all that, you know what I mean? You just got to keep playing, you know what I mean? So that's what I would say right now with Lake Orion. So when I look at the division right now, I would say, and then there's Oxford. Oxford has been up and down, obviously. Having that big win at Lake Orion was huge for them. Obviously, Allison Huffstedler. Mia Champagne's been playing good basketball. Peyton Richter's been up and down. But it'll be interesting to see what Oxford has going forward. So when I look at the division right now, I would say the red right now is West Bloomfield, Stony Creek. I would say Clarkston right now, then Oxford, then Rochester, then Lake Orion. Now this could change, so we'll see what happens going forward, in that division. So a lot to talk about, these next few weeks as we head forward, especially in the world of girls basketball. So we'll see what happens going forward. All right, everybody, I'm going to sign off here. Make sure you follow the blog at Saginaw Bay 4650 at blogspot.com for the latest information. We will be on air here on Wednesday for the ONTV Fish Drive to talk about with my co-host Ian Locke. We're going to talk about basketball districts, especially involving Lake Orion and Oxford for both boys and girls basketball, and also news around the league, what's been going on. So we'll see what happens going forward there. Right, I'm going to sign off here. Take care. God bless. And I'll see you all next week. I'll see you all on Wednesday, everybody. Take care, and I'll see you then. God bless all.